All right, council's back in session. Carla, would you please read the next item?
Item 646, adopt and authorize the submission of the 2016-2020 consolidated plan and the fiscal year 2016-2017 action plan application for the Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnership, Emergency Solutions Grant, and Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS programs to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is our city's fifth five-year consolidated plan for federal entitlement funds. And this five-year plan through 2020 shows how some important federal funds we have are going to be invested in our community. And without further ado, I'll turn it over to the stellar panel we have here. Kim McCarty from the Housing Bureau, Kurt Krieger, the director, and Matthew Schibold, our equity and policy director. I think, Kim, you're going to walk us through?
Kim's the primary presenter, but just as a framing of this, you mentioned the historic investments in housing and homelessness, and these resources are an essential part of our successful strategy moving forward. The consolidated plan is a federally required plan that governs the use of all resources we receive in the form of community development block grant funds, home investment partnership dollars, housing for people with AIDS, and other emergency shelter grant programs. And Kim McCarty prepares not only the consolidated plan, but also our fair housing plan, and there's quite a lot of interplay between those. So she will summarize very quickly the contents of the plan.
Great. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. So my name is Kim McCarty. I'm with the Housing Bureau. I work on the consolidated plan and our fair housing plan. And as we've stated, this is our five-year plan. So typically, we've come with our one-year action plan outlining how we plan to spend our federal resources. This plan gives us the five-year overview along with the one-year action plan. This plan was created as a consortium with the City of Portland, the City of Gresham, and Multnomah County. And we have here today a member of our consortium from the City of Portland, Betty Dominguez from Home Forward.
Betty?
And this plan was couldn't have happened without our continued cooperation and with our partnering jurisdictions and the staff work of our equity policy director, Antoinette Pietka, who did our data analysis for the needs assessment, and Sally Erickson's team that worked on the homelessness sections here that are so important to HUD. So what is the consolidated plan? It, as I said, it's a five-year plan. It takes into account our changes in demographics, the housing market, the overall economy, and also our available public resources and the community's priorities. I wanted to give you an overview of the process that we took. It was pretty extensive, and it's required by HUD that we first have a what we call a needs assessment hearing, and those typically happen in the fall. Then we follow that up with community-based focus groups. And the focus groups this year, because it is a five-year plan, were quite extensive. We met with culturally specific organizations. We met with linguistically specific groups. We did a survey that focused on housing need and fair housing. And then our partner, Gresham, did a door-to-door survey in Rockwood. In addition to the community participation, it's really important that we link with our community partners. So we had interviews with our service delivery members in Multnomah County and also interviews with our special interest groups ranging from veterans to disabled seniors. And so to give you a sense of how the planning process will wrap up, we're here today to share with you what's in the plan. Gresham has already done this. Portland is sharing today. Multnomah County will share this with their commission next week. And then we will submit this electronically to HUD as part of our application for the federal entitlement dollars. And as we mentioned, it's really important that to HUD and to us that the community is involved and that this is all connected to fair housing and making housing an equitable resource for everyone. And this right here is an image of a family that we met with through Home Forward that participated in our fair housing survey. So the plan itself asks that we do a needs assessment and a market analysis, that we create a strategic plan with our community partners, that it be in conjunction and responsive to our citizen participation plan, and that annually that we will update it. And what's important to know is that this plan, when we met with the community and our stakeholders, asks that we create, we identify what are the basic needs. And the basic needs from the community were that we needed affordable housing choice, that we need basic services and homeless prevention and intervention, and community economic development. And the goals that we recommended fall right in line with those needs, that we need to increase affordable housing choices, that we need to reduce homelessness, increase stability for all residents, and improve our infrastructure and facilities and economic opportunities. And that's very much in line with the budget that you've already approved. So this year's annual action plan shows you that those investments are made in those categories. And I'll just go over them briefly. We need to follow the public purpose that's outlined by HUD, that these dollars need to assist low and moderate income households. It needs to eliminate slum and blight and assist with urgent need. And then our Emergency Solutions Grant and Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS also needs to address their needs in terms of shelter, rapid rehousing, and supportive services. So what we've what you will see in this five-year plan is that we're looking at approximately $88 million over a five-year period. With these entitlement funds, the majority is going to new homeownership development, some of it to rehab and preservation, followed by homelessness prevention and economic development. And they will all follow into those three goals and needs that I outlined. And then in terms of our CDBG funding, the majority of that is going towards housing redevelopment. Our home funding is going towards also to new affordable housing. And in Gresham and Multnomah County, they're using some of that money for tenant-based rental assistance. Our Emergency Solutions Grant is restricted to emergency housing and shelter. And again, HOPWA funding is restricted to persons with AIDS and their supportive services. So those are the resources that we're working with. And in our action plan, I'm just showing you what you've already decided through the budget, how they will be presented to HUD in terms of these three main needs and goals. So first was to increase and preserve affordable housing choice. And the programs under preserving affordable housing choice include housing redevelopment, support of our community-based development organizations, and new affordable housing.
So on that slide, yeah. So you got $2.8 million for mm-hmm. new affordable housing. Can you give me a sense of how is that money allocated?
It's allocated through our notice of funding. Every year we do a NOFA process. It can range, I think, we send out that information to our community partners, ask them for proposals, and then the community is invited, along with our stakeholders, to choose a project. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is that the NOFA, at least the last NOFA in October of 2015, was a super NOFA that included funding within several open urban renewal areas plus federal dollars. And it depended on where the project was physically as to whether or not it was preferred to be funded through tax increment or preferred to be funded through community development block grant. If it's outside of an urban renewal area and it meets the national objectives, and it's compliant with federal standards, then it would likely be a candidate for CDBG. For example, when we've been approached about mobile home park needs outside of urban renewal areas in Cully, you can use CDBG for land acquisition. You can use it for infrastructure improvements. It's a pretty good resource for that purpose. So it would be likely a candidate for that use. The most recent project that was just launched was the Hill Park project in the Lair Hill area that is a CDBG-funded project.
And what's the ballpark number of units that one might expect $2.4 million to pay for? Obviously, it would vary a lot depending on the level of affordability, but do we have a sense of, for each $1 million, kind of what the target number of new units would be?
This is a good question. I don't have a ballpark in my head. I do know that within the plan that we do create estimates for what that investment will create in terms of anticipated outcomes, and that's what we share with HUD.
And our life-to-date cost of Portland funds per unit is about $100,000 a unit.
About 10 per million.
Right.
Okay, that's helpful. And then it would be helpful to me each year when you present the next to come back and tell us how many we, you know, how do we do for the $28 million that we just invested in the city's budget this year? What did we get for that?
Yeah, we'd be really happy to do that. And, in fact, we do create a report every year that goes to HUD that outlines those outcomes.
Great, thank you. And then just one final question, since at least for this phase, since Director Kruger brought up the Cully mobile home place, has there been any progress on that issue?
Yes. Commissioner Salzman's office met yesterday with me, representatives of CASA of Oregon, and Oregon Housing Community Services and Metro. The meeting was convened by Speaker Kotek, and we laid out a range of available options. It's my understanding that CASA of Oregon has proffered a purchase offer on the park, and they have received, I believe, over 90 days, up to 120 days to conduct due diligence. So they are currently under contract with a owner that's willing to consider selling the park to the residents through CASA of Oregon, and we will assist them along with Metro to hopefully achieve that goal.
Thank you. That's really good news and progress. Obviously not done yet, but I appreciate the update. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Salzman.
Mr. Director, there's a line item in the last slide that has the Section 108 loan repayment, kind of an esoteric item, but it reminds me that one of the last funded projects with Section 108 money, which is essentially an advance against CDBG, was the Brano. When's the opening for the Brano?
It's coming up very soon. I think it's even on my calendar. I'll have to get back to you on that specific point. I also believe that the Hacienda office building was financed with Section 108. So it's currently in use throughout the city. And frankly, it's also a resource for other mobile home parks because to the extent that a mobile home park can support a loan, we could renovate the underlying infrastructure with these funds through the 108 loan. So.
Thank you. Kim?
So the first goal is increasing affordable ownership, and we specifically also invest our federal entitlement dollars in affordable ownership housing.
Why is that the first goal?
Go ahead.
I shouldn't interrupt you, but you just said it's the first goal. Why is it ranked number one? Why is it ranked as a first goal?
I should have said that there is no ranking. We did not rank the goals. There are three goals,
right.
And it's the first that I'm presenting. But also in terms of investment of our entitlement dollars for this 5-year period in this year, there's a larger investment in new affordable housing than in the other objectives.
New affordable housing could be multifamily rental, we're talking about home ownership here or both?
We're talking about both.
Is there a change in the investment in affordable home ownership?
No.
Okay, thank you.
For the purposes of this presentation, I just broke it out so that you could see what kind of resources we're going towards home ownership. And that's specifically in our home ownership programs, we offer financial assistance, home repair, And in Gresham and Multnomah County, as being part of the Home Consortium, their resources are going towards the SAM program and towards counseling, financial counseling, homeownership counseling. And a second goal that for our federal resources is reducing homelessness and increasing stability. And if we break out the resources, the federal resources that are going towards that particular objective, we can see that we're using ESG for emergency shelter and rapid rehousing. We're also investing in HOPWA. And then our CDBG is going towards our fair housing programs.
And the HOPWA money, traditionally, a Cascade AIDS project has been one of our prime subcontractors on that work. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we also are the lead for multiple jurisdictions in the region for those resources. So the third goal is infrastructure, facilities, and economic development. And you can see that CDBG is our main resource. In Portland, we're focusing that on economic opportunities through microenterprise, adult workforce programs, and youth workforce programs. So SEI would be an example. So next steps. So we would submit this application to HUD. They review it for 30 days. And then after their review, then HUD would make the would release the appropriation of the entitlement, and we could begin contracting in August.
Excellent presentation. Very succinct. Thank you. Colleagues, any further questions? Carla, did anyone sign up?
Do you have a question?
Pardon?
Yes, I do have a question.
Okay, you're a colleague. That's why I asked.
Yes, good. Jumping right. So on page, I really appreciate the detail in here because I've been wondering exactly what do we spend the money on, and I appreciate the explanation. I'm hampered by not having been the housing commissioner. So I'm looking at page 16 of the first year action plan, and I noticed that the administrative costs are pulled out into three funding areas: the general fund, the tax increment funds, and the housing investment fund. And together they total $7.9 million. So I'm surprised to see that the general fund portion is so low for just basic staff to do the work. And I'm wondering why that is, and what the rest of the general fund money goes to in the Housing Bureau.
Well, I can say that we're extremely efficient. I mean, having come from Fairfax County Redevelopment Housing Authority, my budget there was smaller, and I had about 150 more staff people in Fairfax than I do here. We also happen to operate a housing authority along with the community development and CDBG programs. We are limited to 15% of the CDBG entitlement for planning and administration. We fall under that level, and there are administrative costs associated with general fund, but we fall well under the prescribed levels.
How much general fund does the Housing Bureau get?
Well, at the present time, nearly all the general fund money is proposed to be transmitted through the Housing Bureau to the joint office, because it's nearly all homeless support services. And you know, I can give you a brief detailed breakdown. I hate to talk about large numbers off the top of my head because it's...
Yeah, that would be really helpful. I'd like to know, are we staffing the Housing Bureau appropriately, and are we giving you enough general fund money just for that? You know, the council just approved a budget in which Office of Neighborhood Involvement got three positions to do administrative work, and that's entirely appropriate. In fact, probably not enough to do the work there. And so I want to...
Can I just make an observation? The comp plan doesn't actually set the budget for the Bureau, or the comp plan just reports the federal government how we're allocating the federal funds. The council decides how general fund is allocated. And so, I mean, I think the question's a good one about what's our overhead and staffing. The federal government does not monitor our staffing. We're just reporting how we allocate the monies to achieve the staffing levels that the council has established.
Thank you. I am aware of that. This page in the consolidated plan does call out nearly $8 million in administrative costs, and so I'm just looking at you know, what money goes where. And so I appreciate the offer to give me a more detailed briefing. Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Would anyone like to testify on the comprehensive plan? Okay. Hearing none. Dan, final word. This goes to a second reading.
Do we need an emergency clause in order to submit this in a timely manner? Or?
If we could, that would be appreciated.
Okay. I would move that we add an emergency clause to this.
I'll second that. And for the city attorney, to put an emergency clause, we have to have some compelling reason, which I understand is that this has to be submitted or has to be finalized so it can be submitted for public comment and then get to HUD in a timely manner. Is that accurate?
Correct, so that we can put the contracts in place and get the allocation from HUD.
Okay. Would anyone like to be heard? Okay, let's first see. We have a first and a second on an emergency clause. Would anyone like to be heard on that item? Seeing none, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Britt?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Okay, and now we'll vote on the ordinance as amended to put an emergency clause on. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you for this great presentation, and we thank our federal government for providing some important funds. Was it $55 million over 8 years?
About $88 million.
$88 million okay, over 5 years. It's a lot of money, and we're going to put it to good use. Aye.
Novick?
Thank you very much for the presentation. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. I very much appreciate you sitting through the council meeting yesterday and then coming back again today to give us this detailed explanation. It really does help people to understand how the Housing Bureau works as well as all the good things that you do. So thank you very much. Aye.
I'm very pleased to support this. I will note that I think I have watched or endured almost every debate held on either side of the aisle in the presidential season. And I'm waiting for the first one in which housing is introduced as an issue worthy of debate at the federal level. I will also note that a majority of the candidates for president running in this cycle have said they would abolish the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And I would finally observe that while it is wonderful that we get these funds and we are grateful for them, they are woefully inadequate to meet the national housing needs of this country. And to put it in perspective, the complete budget of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which I think is plus or minus $40 billion, is less than one-fifth of the amount of foregone revenue at the federal government that we willingly relinquish by subsidizing the mortgage and property taxes of people like me who do not need that subsidy. And that, I think, shows some misplaced national priorities. And I'm not picking on the mortgage or property tax deduction, but it seems to me allocating a mere $40 billion for all the housing needs of everyone not currently covered by the market is woefully inadequate. But I thank you for your good work in crafting this plan, and we look forward to your success. Aye. Okay, we're going to take a 2-minute break and then shift into the comp plan. Thank you all.